What are the three most important things that keep us in contact with God besides prayer and Bible study, which also help us to know God and help us to be in right standing with Him? Let's come to Leviticus 23, and we'll review that in just a minute. And the reason is that how many times have we read this? Well, we do every holy day. We read Leviticus 23, not the whole thing through, but every holy day we do, don't we? And it dawned on me, what was it? Just this last week. Because just as the opening prayer said, Passover's coming soon. As a matter of fact, that's 8 weeks and 3 days. And by time you get these messages, it's going to be 6 weeks and 3 days, somewhere right around in there. But Leviticus 23 is the key. And what we're looking at is the overview of Leviticus 23 to tell us what are the three most important things to keep us in contact with God. All right, let's read it here. All right, let's read it again just in review quickly, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, now let's understand one thing. Moses did not teach or say one thing concerning the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that God did not tell him. So when they refer to the law of Moses, it's not that Moses gave the law. He transmitted it from God, and he wrote it down. So when you say law of Moses, it doesn't mean that Moses created this out of his own mind. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would think that way. So he spoke to him saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the appointed feasts of God. Now I want you to notice the structure of this here. Which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feasts. So God appointed them. And as I mentioned in the last message, men come along and they say, oh, we don't need this, we don't need that. God, let's take this wonderful pagan thing over here and we'll have the Pope bless it and we'll have the priest sprinkle it with holy water and it will be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't you think that'd be nice? And God, we love this so much that we know you'll like it. Oh, remember, is God perfect? Yes. Is His way perfect? Yes. Is His word truth? Yes. Are His commandments for us? Yes. That's why we have it this way. These are God's appointed feast. So here's number one of those three things. Number one, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Number one. Because if you keep the Sabbath, then you will be keeping the feast that God has set, the weekly one, the seventh day Sabbath, where those who keep the Sabbath, God puts His spiritual presence in it. Those who do not keep the Sabbath, God's spiritual presence is not with them. All right. Verse 4. What follows next? These are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, their appointed seasons. Now, there's no option here. It doesn't say, well, if you think it's good, or well, if you agree with it, then you go ahead and proclaim it. He says, you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. And God is the one who appointed them. He's the one who established them. He's the one who gave the calculated Hebrew calendar. And that's why we use it. All right, here's number two. In the 14th day of the first month between the two evenings, and as I explained in the first message, and you can get out of the Passover book, that means between sunset and dark. That's when the lamb was to be killed. But on that day, the 14th day, is the Lord's Passover. It's not the Jews' Passover. What the Jews keep today as their Passover is not the Lord's Passover. And they keep it one day late. And if you want to know why they keep it one day late, then you get the Passover book. This nearly 500-page book explains every question concerning the Passover. And what's important concerning this is that because the Passover is the day which keeps us in contact with God and in covenant with God, Satan wants to do all he can to confuse people, to mix them up, to get them to, like with the Jews, take a 15th Passover, which the Jews will tell you they have to take a 15th Passover because only a 14th Passover can be observed by them in the land. And since they have rejected the New Testament and Jesus, they are quite correct in what they say. But Jesus said, go into all the world and teach them everything I have commanded you. And that includes everything concerning the Passover as we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the church being in the world is not restricted to the geographical area of the land that God gave the children of Israel for their original inheritance because Jesus told us to keep it. And nothing infuriates Jews. I know a woman who had a Jewish dentist, and she said, oh, well, we keep the Passover and Feast of Tabernacles. And he almost pulled out all of her teeth for saying it, you know. So this is important. This is number two. Number three are all the rest of the feasts of God. Those three things. Now let's understand, we already have reviewed this, so let me just mention it. The Sabbath was created time by God, the seventh day. Now let's come to Exodus 31. Let's see what it says concerning the Sabbath and the Sabbaths. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Let's go back to verse 12. Now verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, truly, that means in truth, you shall keep my Sabbaths, plural. Now this becomes important because you have the Sabbath day, you have the Passover, but all of the holy days are called Sabbaths. So when it's plural, it's talking about the Sabbath and the seven holy days. The Passover is special and comes before the seven holy days. And isn't it interesting that in order to keep the feast of God in order, you have to, especially today, be in covenant with God through the Passover before you start unleavened bread and Pentecost and trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, the last great day. And when you are and when you do, and you ask God to help you, inspire you, and you study to teach and bring the things concerning that that the Bible shows us, you will understand it. It's like anything else. God says that God hides a matter, but it's the honor of the king to seek it out. This is why we study the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. We prove all things, and we put it together with the Scriptures by rightly dividing the Word. So here's part of it. Now, here's why the Sabbath and the holy days are vitally important. Now you see, those who reject the Bible, what do they keep when they call themselves professed Christians? Sunday, Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Groundhog's Day, Lent, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Right? Okay? And instead of keeping the Passover, what do they keep? They keep the sacrifice of the Mass for the Catholics and communion for the Protestants, and it has nothing to do with God or Christ. It is a counterfeit that everyone has accepted. Now notice what he says. For it, that is the keeping. You can't have plural followed by it, grammatically speaking. So this refers to the keeping of my Sabbaths is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. See, now the Protestants don't know that. The Catholics don't know that. The Jews don't know that. I, the Lord, to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So here is the sum of the matter. If you keep the Sabbaths of God, His holy days, and the Sabbath, you know God. And if you keep those, what else are you going to do? You're going to keep the Passover. You're going to keep the rest of the commandments, right? Yes. Let's see how this is augmented by 1 John, the second chapter. Let's turn there. 1 John, chapter 2, page 1137. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. And by this standard, now standard is in italics and that was added, because the Greek there is in tuto, meaning in this, by this, herein, in this manner, in this standard. So that was added in because that sets the standard. That's why I added the word standard there. By this standard we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now let's take the opposite of this. If you do not keep His commandments, you do not know Him. Isn't that correct? We'll see this in just a minute. Okay? Not only that, we're not to just know the Lord, like so many Protestants do. Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you opened your heart to the Lord? And you see, the truth is, the more you study the Bible and the more you realize it, you understand that the Protestants use scriptures, but they don't know the scriptures. They profess Jesus, but they don't know Jesus because they're not keeping the commandments. Well, we keep 9 of them. Well, God said to keep 10. Verse 4. The one who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is well-intentioned. Is really nice, but slightly mistaken. No. Is a liar. Now, where does that place all Sunday keepers and idolaters? And the truth is not in him. Now, they may have parts of truth, just like human nature is a mixture of good and evil. But human nature is basically sinful. But you see, the Bible is actually like the, how should we say, it is like having the right combination to open the safe. Now, if you have a safe and you have the combination right except one number, will it open? No. Likewise, if you don't keep all the commandments of God, you're not really going to know God. You will know about Jesus, but you won't know Jesus. You will know about the Father, but you won't know the Father. There's a difference. And the same difference is Do you have the right combination to unlock the safe? So those are pretty strong words. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, now notice how this expands. It's not just commandment keeping alone now. Now it has to do with everything that Jesus taught. Truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. And that's how we're perfected through the Sabbath, the Passover, and the Holy Days. Those are the three most important things. And once we keep those, then all of the rest will follow and be put together. See? Now here's another one, see? Being perfected. Now notice, by this means, we know that we are in Him. So these three simple verses really tell us a lot. Now, verse 6, another, the fourth verse. These four simple verses tell us an awful lot. Anyone who claims to dwell in Him is obligating himself also to walk even as He Himself, Jesus, walked. Oh, how did Jesus walk? Well, He always kept the Sabbath. He never kept Sunday. He always kept the Passover. He never kept the sacrifice of the Mass or Communion. He always kept all the holy days of God. He kept none of the pagan holidays. Did He walk in love? Yes. Did He walk in faith? Yes. Did He represent hope? Yes. Did He bring grace? Yes. So this tells us a lot right here. Did He believe the Father? Yes. Did He suffer persecution? Yes. All of those things. So this tells us an awful lot. Now, let's continue on back here in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Now, as we pointed out in the first message, everyone believes that this is the origin of the Passover, Exodus 12. And we're going to see that is not correct. Number two, this is not the Passover of the Jews, it's the Passover for the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, of which Judah, one tribe, are the ones is from whom the Jews come. And we have covered all the way down through verse 11. So let's reread verse 11 again. And this is the way you shall eat it. With your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in trepidation. It is the Lord's Passover. So we need to always understand that. It belongs to God. All right. Why is it called the Passover? Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, the night of the 14th. The 13th ended at sunset, as we saw, and as soon as the sun went down, that began Bein-Harabim between the two evenings. And all the children of Israel were waiting. And as I mentioned, there were those standing on the top of the roofs of their houses looking for the sun to go down. And in Egypt, as I mentioned, you have a flat horizon. So when it touches the horizon, that's the beginning of Bar Erev, or sunset, and about 5 minutes later, the sun goes down below the horizon, and as soon as it goes down below the horizon, that is the beginning of between the two evenings, Bein Ha'arba'im. So that night, the night of the 14th, now if you want to know why the Jews say that night was the night of the 15th, then you got to get the Passover book and read it. There is no other book like it ever printed which covers every one of these questions. So you need to read it. And I will smite, and will smite rather, so it is God who's doing the smiting. I'm sure He had some angels do the work for him, but he's the one who gave the command, and if he gives a command, he's the one who did it. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now, not all firstborn were boys. So there were male and female who were executed, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. Now stop and think about this. All of the pagan gods of Egypt came originally out of Babylon and were renamed. And yet modern Catholicism and Protestantism follow the same days that those pagan religions had. And what did God do? He judged all the gods of Egypt because they are no gods. I am the Lord. Now you need to understand, when God says, I am the Lord, he's adding emphasis to it. Verse 13. And the blood shall be assigned to you upon the houses where you are, because they were to put it on the side post and the upper lintel. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. This day shall be a memorial to you, a remembrance. Now, what we are going to see in this, so I'll just telegraph ahead, which is this. God always uses the Passover and his holy days for important things and carrying out his plan. Always. God smote the firstborn of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out, and that was on the Passover day. Question. When was Jesus crucified? On the Passover day. Then you have to take everything that happened on that Passover day, beginning when he sent his disciples out to prepare for the Passover for him. Now, we'll cover that a little bit later. Because some people say, well, Jesus kept the 15th Passover with the Jews until this last one, and then he changed it. No, that's not true. They had the domestic Passover in Jerusalem, and they had the temple Passover later in the day for some of the priests and some of the Pharisees. During the days of Jesus, that's why you need to read the book. During the days of Jesus, they had a 14th Passover and a 15th Passover. And we'll see that later, but I'm just kind of telegraphing this ahead of time so we can cover all the bases. What did Jesus say on the Passover night when he gave them the bread and wine? Do this in remembrance of me. What is a remembrance? A memorial. How often does a memorial take place? Once a year. How often does the Passover come? Once a year. This day shall be a memorial to you. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. It's a separate feast from the days of unleavened bread. We'll see in just a bit. You shall keep it a feast as a law forever. Now, one woman wrote me and she says, I have a very simple way of remembering which day is which. She said, verse 14 talks about the Passover, which is the 14th day of the month. Verse 15 talks about the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the 15th day of the first month. So we have 14 and 15. Now, in the Hebrew, when you come to the end of verse 14, it is a full stop. That means verse 15 now is another subject. But on the 14th, they were to eat unleavened bread with the Passover. Is that not correct? Yes. Now comes 7 days of unleavened bread, verse 15. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, even the first day you shall have put away leaven out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Because they're disobeying God. Cut off does not mean that they're killed or destroyed. It just means that they are cut off from receiving the blessings of God. They may still be living in the land. When the children of Israel sinned when they were in the land, were they still in the land? Yes. But they were cut off from God, so God had to punish them, and after refusing to repent, he sent them off into exile. Verse 16. And in the first day of the 7 days, there shall be a holy convocation, and in the 7th day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. No work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat, only that may be done by you. Whatever is necessary for preparing food. Verse 17. And you shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, for in this very same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Now I want you to notice the difference between the 2 days. Why did he say, keep the Passover? Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. He passed over the children of Israel because they had the blood on the upper door post and the 2 lintels. Now here we are talking about the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the 15th. Which he says, you shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this very same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall keep this day in your generations as a law forever. What did he say up here concerning the 14th? And this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast as a law forever. Clearly distinguishing the 2 days. All right, now verse 18 becomes a little tricky, especially in the King James. So that's why in the Faithful Version, we have all of the critical words translated correctly. So there's no misunderstanding. Can the simplest uneducated person understand when the sun goes down? Sunset. Yes. I mean, even little children. Look, Daddy, the sun's going down. They understand that. That's why God gave sunset and sunrise. We'll see that. Verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at sunset. Oh! What do you mean the 14th day on sunset? Isn't that the Passover day? The 14th day is the Passover day, correct. But what is it at the 14th day at sunset? That's the end of the 14th, not the beginning. The beginning is between the 2 evenings after sunset on the 13th until dark. Here it is. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at sunset, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset. Now, come to Leviticus 23. Hold your place here because we're coming back. Leviticus 23 and verse 32 is the premier verse which defines a day. Leviticus 23:32. This is talking of the Day of Atonement. It, the Day of Atonement, shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. Now come back here to verse 27, let's read this verse. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. 10th day, keep that in mind. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. in the ninth day of the month at sunset. From sunset to sunset shall you keep your Sabbath. So the tenth day is defined right here by this verse as beginning at the end of the ninth day at sunset, which ends the ninth day. Begins the tenth day, and the tenth day is from sunset on the ninth until sunset on the tenth. That is the whole day. So we come back here to Exodus 12, and let's read it again. This will then clear up verse 18 and make it absolutely crystal clear. Okay? Verse 18, let's read it again. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at sunset, end of the 14th, beginning the 15th, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset. All right. Now I want you to count. We'll use all the fingers on one hand and two on the other. Okay? Let's go. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 7 days counting. Whenever you count, it is always a full count, and it is never like adding or subtracting. Because the 15th day to the 21st day is 6 days by subtraction, but 7 days by counting. All right. So the 21st day of the month at even is what? The end of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a holy day. And that's when, in this modern world, you can go out and have your big, fat, juicy hamburger. All right. Let's continue on. I'm going to go through every verse of this so we can cover everything we need to. Verse 19. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats leaven, that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Now those were the instructions given to Moses. And he picked up his cell phone and he called everyone. And he took his BlackBerry and his computer and sent email to everyone so they would know it. No, how did he communicate this to them? Verse 21. After he got the instructions from God, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take a lamb for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. When? On the 14th day, Ben Harbaim. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood that is in the bowl, showing that they should take a bowl and catch the blood, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood in the bowl, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house until sunrise. They could not leave at midnight after the slaying of the firstborn. They were told to stay in the house until sunrise. Now, after all that went on and all the commotion that went on with killing the firstborn, do you think that anyone would dare venture out of the door of the house that night? Mom and Dad would be there, especially Mom. Don't go out the door! Moses told us we're not to go out until sunrise. We've got to see the sun when it's starting to light up the horizon in the east. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over. That's where the name Passover comes from. The door. And will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. and you shall observe this thing as a law to you and your children forever. Now let's read on, because here's a very key, important verse. A couple of verses here. Verse 25. And it shall be, when you have come into the land which the Lord will give you, which actually occurred 40 years later, according as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be, when your children shall say to you, what does this service mean to you? Now, why would they ask that? Because the command was to kill the lamb right there at the house. Was that not correct? And you have children, and they go out and say, Daddy, why are you killing the lamb? Verse 27, then you shall say, this is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our houses. That's what happened on the 14th. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Now let's jump ahead to chapter 13 for just a minute here. Verse 8. Now I want you to notice the difference between the 2 days. And the Jews today have combined the Passover and first day of unleavened bread, and they say the Passover pictures coming out of Egypt. Not so, because if they were not in the house, protected by the blood on the doors, they would have died. So the Passover does not picture coming out of Egypt. Unleavened bread does. So you've got the 14th, the Passover, 15th, the beginning of unleavened bread. Now let's read it here. Exodus 13 and verse 8. This is talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt. Passover, they were in their houses ready to go, but they didn't come out until sunrise. And they gathered in Ramses, as we'll see in just a minute, and they didn't leave Ramses until the 15th day was starting. All right, let's read it here. Verse 9, and it shall be a sign upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this law in its season from year to year. So at least in the faithful version, these scriptures are far easier to understand than the King James. I know when I kept my first Passover and unleavened bread, remember the minister read there in Exodus 12, well, this is the beginning of the day, and the King James just said evening. And then a little later on, talking about the beginning of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it said at even. And he said, well, this is the next even. And I remember the very first one, I said, okay, but how do we know? Because what was the moral of the story at that time, years and years ago? Don't believe me, believe your Bible and prove it. So I didn't create any problems with it, but I just filed it in the back of my mind. So that's what we have to do with some questions. File them in the back of our minds and keep them there, and sooner or later, the answer will come. All right, now let's come back to Exodus 12. So that's the difference between the service. One, the Passover and striking the Egyptians, delivering our houses. Two, the day they came out of Egypt. Now let's continue on. Verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So that was a spectacular night. Now this is approximately 20% of the entire population, because you have husband and wife. What if both of them were firstborn? They would die. And their firstborn child would die, whether male or female. And you take the animals, the firstborn of the animals, probably not quite 20%, probably more like 10 or 15%. And all of these corpses everywhere. And remember, Egypt is where? Right on the edge of the desert, right? Along the Nile. So you're going to have heat, isn't that correct? What happens to bodies lying out everywhere in all the heat? And just think of all the flies, all the ants, all the dogs. I tell you, it must have been awesome and gruesome. No wonder there was a great cry. And no wonder they were up, you know, they just didn't bury them all at once. We find in Numbers 33 that they were still burying the dead Egyptians when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. So they were all day from sunrise until sunset and trying to get rid of those bodies. And obviously they couldn't get rid of them all. All right, let's come on here. Verse 31, and this is the correct translation, because some say, well, Moses, because the King James says, Pharaoh called for Moses. So Moses went to Pharaoh. No, he didn't go to Pharaoh, because the last time he saw him, you're never going to see my face again. So here's the correct translation. And during the night, he sent word to Moses and Aaron, saying, rise up, get you away from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. See, even the most stubborn, sooner or later, you know, after all that took place, they have to give in. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. Now notice what he says next. And bless me also. And the Egyptians were urging the people that they might send them out of the land quickly, for they said, we are all dead men. Because they didn't know when the next strike of the population would come again, did they? I mean, not knowing what God was doing and all of this taking place, you imagine the fear and the terror that was going on. Let's go to the next track, please.